Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Les Norman's hanging out with us. You know, Les, we talked about the song Center Field that you're not a fan of. This song is about baseball, too.
The first part is.
It's about the guy digging in, getting ready to face a really good pitcher. And the umpire's like, hey, let's go, pitcher. Because there's
the man in the box.
And that's where it ends for me.
What is he doing in that box, though?
What's he buried in? What, is he buried in something?
See, that's why
he's buried in breaking pitches.
That's why I love the intro
buried
to that song.
In his stuff, because the pitcher has stuff. You know, that's what I'm going with.
I got
that's
you.
The,
I that's
guess the song. He does even say, "I want you to save me."
Yeah,
because his stuff's too good.
Yes, it's MacArthur coming save me. So there you go. Les Norman,
you're the gift of the. The voices.
No, not at all.
I could listen to you do Denny all day, man.
Well, you know what? I
went to get some pizza, and it was
gone.
Ding, ding.
It was and gone. Les Norman. How about that?
I love it.
Really got into one right there.
Yeah.
Denny De Jesus was very good.
You mean De Jesus? I don't know who De Jesus is, but I know who David De Jesus is. Ding, I know him. Big fan of his.
Love it. Yes. I love it.
Yes. A lot of people do. I don't know why. Les Norman, Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com and First Federal Bank of Kansas City is our guest. We mentioned it briefly in the previous hour when news came down. 92 years old, Whitey Herzog passing away, and a legend in the game of baseball, played for the Kansas City A's, managed the Kansas City Royals, St. Louis Cardinals, many pennants that he won, World Series that he won with the Cardinals. Thankfully, he was on the losing end of the 85 World Series as a manager. Divisions, winning the West with the Royals 3 years in a row. And just the overall impact. Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, Cardinal Hall of Famer, Royals Hall of Famer, Missouri Hall of Famer. Whitey Herzog, a long life, an impactful life. In the game of baseball.
Legend.
So, sad news that Whitey passed away.
Yeah, man. I love his quote. Baseball's been very good to me since I stopped trying to play it. And I love that quote.
It's a great quote.
It is. Married 71 years.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, truly amazing. And when you think of old school, you know, there's this big debate now, and there's so many people in this generation that want the rules and the analytics and the new style and love the excess celebrations and all that. And then you got the old school guys who want it to be the way it was and don't like change. And when you think of old school, somebody like Whitey Herzog comes to mind. I mean, a lot of players that played for him just loved the guy, and you know, almost 1,300 wins as a manager, and you know, played some baseball obviously as well, and you know, I mean, his time, and he had met, you know, he was Casey Stengel, and I mean, my goodness, the bridge to old school, and yeah, he's going to be sadly missed by a lot of people in this game.
Well, I know that the phrase was coined when he was with the Cardinals of Whitey Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he did that with the Royals, too. The speed and the defense, you know, getting guys at the top of the lineup that'll get on base and run, followed by guys that can drive them in. It seems obvious, right? But he was one of the – and I know we talk about analytics and everything, but he did have an eye towards on-base percentage of guys, you know, get on base, don't make an out, and then we can get it to other guys that can drive you in, but not necessarily your traditional, now we're going to have a number four cleanup power hitter. This guy's just going to be, you know, gripping the bat, and the wood is you know, being
compressed?
No, it just, you know, it...
gripping the
sanded.
Wood.
The wood is sanded off while this guy is...
Sanded was the word you were trying
sanded
to
Sanded is the
with.
Word I was looking for right
if you
there.
You saw the listeners, his hand movements, that was like, not sanded.
Yeah, sand. Yeah, you know what? They probably did see that. Sorry about that. And I'm thinking of Jack Parkman with Major League 2 when he's holding it and you can see, like, the dust coming off the bat. Like, you don't have to have that old school guy that's just going to mash the baseball. It was play great defense.
Mm-hmm.
In some cavernous yards with the AstroTurf.
played his surroundings.
And
he played
have
his
guys
turf,
that
man.
Run
he,
fast.
He, yeah, he understood it.
Yeah, because he had turf in Kansas City and St. Louis.
He didn't need analytics course. When he had eyeballs. You know, I mean,
but he, see, but, see but his, but his eyeballs also gave him sort of the hey, you know, this makes sense. What if we had guys that didn't make outs?
Yeah,
yeah, they don't hit doubles and everything. But what if this guy just simply handed the baton to the next guy, and then when he got on first, he could steal 100 bags, you know, or he hits one in the gap and it skips all the way to the wall and he's fast enough that he's going to be at third. Let's do that. Also, we're going to have guys that take runs away by playing awesome defense.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I think one of the things that I love about the memories of Whitey is that he lovingly, calmly admitted to hating umpires. You know, I think he went into the Hall of Fame with an umpire at the same time. And I can't remember that umpire's name, but he'd mentioned, like, that umpire was the guy that threw him out the most when he played. And, you know, again, just old school. And he would do it in a laughing way and tongue-in-cheek. And, I mean, he actually, in a way, defended Denkinger's blown calls. Like, hey, he's a human being. He made a mistake. He knows he made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake. He just did it at the inopportune time. So, at the time, I'm sure Whitey was not taking that stance. But over time, you know, he just had a respect for people that were in the game in all aspects of it. And yeah, he's such that throwback. He's just, like I said before, he's just going to be missed for so many reasons. But if you think about it, you know me, I'm more behind the scenes in life than anything, but 71 years married.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not just longevity of living to be 92. That's commitment.
Yeah.
And it's commitment from his bride too, because he's gone every year. He's a baseball lifer. And so, family guy, old school baseball guy. Yeah, just it's a great day to remember all the stuff that he's done for the game.
And I joke about him being on the wrong side of 1985.
Yeah.
And he had talked about it, too, that, you know, obviously he was on the losing side. But there was a part of him that playing for the A's and playing for the Royals and not getting over the Yankees and losing in 80, you know, when he wasn't the manager there anymore, but losing in 80, that they got a World Series. You know,
right.
We got one in 82. Yeah. They got a World Series. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And he also talked about, like, you know, he said in a – something along the lines of, like, in an odd way, you know, being on the opposite end of the Denkinger call, somehow we get more notoriety as the team in the Cardinals because of that call, rather than just a team that went down in history that won a World Series and moved on. But obviously you'd rather have the ring. He was safe, whatever. I know there's an argument over Dinkinger's call. It was obviously safe. It was the right call. Not sure what everybody's arguing over. So.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it is what it is.
Safe. Yeah, I mean, I don't get the disagreement here. So,
what I think is so fascinating is you can see the effects of what he did as a manager that are still felt today. I mean, he was the bullpen by committee. It used to be if you were a reliever, all right, you're finishing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going in for 3-4 innings, and then Lee Smith kind of even in 1980 was like, okay, we'll do 2 innings and then 1. But it really was Whitey Herzog who created the bullpen by committee, which we were feeling here in Kansas City in 14 and 15. It was the, again, building your team to the ballpark, obviously having a very fast center fielder like Lorenzo Cain being in center. The Royals stuck with it. They stuck with Whitey Ball.
We did see that.
Hey,
yeah.
Like, we're not going to go for the power hitters. We're going to try and build a roster that fits this organization and the stadium. Again, he was such a forefront of, again, the analytics, but using your eyeballs, because we didn't have all the numbers back then. But I do think the bullpen by committee, to me, is one of the most fascinating aspects, because where would Major League Baseball have been? How much longer would it have taken before they actually got to that?
Where we had to learn and we had to grow in our experience with the game, whether you're a former player, manager, in the media, or just a fan. What we had to learn to grow, he had the instincts of and saw it real time. You know, and it's great, Sterling, that you say that. We still do today and still see remnants of what he used to do. You were mentioning this quarter zip I have on a Royals fantasy camp. And so it's fantasy camp every year is a blast for multiple levels and reasons. But one of the great things for me is to be, you know, now and also, you know, being the director of Royals fantasy camp for the last couple of years, being in there and getting to sit. And I think this will be my 14th or 15th coming up this year. But you still have George Brett, Amos Otis, Dennis Leonard, Willie Wilson. Guys like that are still in that clubhouse and still talking about Whitey. And you hear stories every year of, oh, I remember this one time when Whitey just lit. And, of course, I'm going to not say everything because we're going to keep our rating and our license here.
Yeah.
But just the things that Whitey would say and the situations and the fun and locker room, bullpen, on-field stuff, they still talk about it. And they keep it alive because of the – and John Mayberry, you know, he's part of that too. And Mayberry's just the big storyteller. So you get all those guys together, I feel like – almost like I played for the guy, you know. It's, and, of course, I didn't. I mean, it's such a different generation. But, it's a wonderful thing to see. And as I hear those stories, Sterling, leading to what you're saying, like, man, we see those things in baseball today. It's a newer generation trying to bring new things and take all that stuff away. They'll never fully be able to, but it's just so cool to see those Royals Hall of Famers and those old school guys still talk about Whitey like it was yesterday. And there's so much joy and exuberance in how they tell those stories back when they played.
Visiting with Les Norman, Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com and First Federal Bank of Kansas City. Let's talk about the Kansas City Royals and what they've been doing. They now sit 11-6, a half game out of first place. They got the White Sox today and then tomorrow afternoon. They got good news with Salvador Perez.
Yes.
Because yesterday there was a concern, and I didn't know how long he would be out. But according to Matt Quatrero, they got the best possible news they could get with the MRI, low-grade strain of his groin. And then Salvi apparently wants to let everybody know, including somebody that was driving all the way from where?
I think it was Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah. Came all the way from Puerto Rico.
That's
to
an interesting drive.
Yes, yeah, a really weird drive to get there. But either way, traveling maybe is the better term, from Puerto Rico to get to the Chicago White Sox game. And Salvi saying, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
This was last night. That's fantastic news, because what kind of emotional gut punch would it be to this team if you lost Salvi for an extended period of time when they're playing like this?
Since Easter.
That's right.
Oh, that would have been crazy. Yeah, I was nervous when I saw that play. I'm like, ooh, was there a spike in there? Was there something? Mm-hmm. Because the way he reacted, it was as if something popped. Like, oh, no. The collective Royals world of, oh, no,
yep.
When that happened. And to get that right away, I mean, Salvi would play through it. He's just a tough dude.
Yeah.
But even when you say, oh, no, I'll be okay, I want to play tomorrow, that doesn't settle you down, because you know how Salvi is. You got to find out what's the manager say, what do the trainers say, what do the doctors say. So that was a collective 48 hours of hold your breath till you turn blue.
And the fact that he's not going on the IL, which also says that the manager, the doctors, and they say, okay, you're good,
mm-hmm.
That we can work through this. We don't need an IL stint. Logan Porter can be the one-man taxi squad in case. But it looks like, according to Salvi and the MRI, that disaster avoided, and he won't miss much time, if more than one game.
that dude has to be the toughest guy in baseball. How many other guys, how many other catchers are placed on the IL? How many other catchers are missing at least a week? Like, it blows my mind.
And not that they shouldn't.
No, and not that.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes it's to his detriment. Like, I think he rushes back too soon, but it shows his love of the game, his love of his teammates, the love of Kansas City. But I mean, it's just phenomenal. I don't understand how he's able to bounce back that quick after the amount of injuries he has sustained in his career at such a one of the most physical positions in all of sports, at least in all of baseball.
And when you're carrying 260 pounds,
it blows my mind. Like, it blows my mind. If he's Joe Tooney, like, playing through a broken hand. It's Nick Allegretti when he tore his UCL. He's like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm gonna keep playing. That's like Salvi. Like,
Salvi had to miss a season when he tore his. I'm just saying, you know, Allegretti and Salvi, he did miss a year.
If it wouldn't happen. But if it was on his left elbow, Salvi's like, I don't care. I'll still catch. I'll still be back there.
And since Salvi's contract, they can no longer handle luggage. Since then,
that's exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah, no steps, nothing, no luggage.
Like
the best worst thing for Matt Quatrero is when Salvi gets cleared to play, and then he hears that knock on his door. Like, how am I going to tell this guy no? I mean, it's Salvi. So, yes, just breathe a sigh of relief, Royals fans.
I want to talk about Velasquez here in a little bit, because I think there's a decent chance maybe Salvi's in the lineup at DH for Velasquez, maybe to get a day off. But before we move off of Salvi, as a former player, I talked, not me as a former player, but I want to ask you as a former player, but I talked yesterday, Jack Johnson was in here with us and Sterling, and we talked about that particular play. And when it happened, like, I was pissed off. Like, I was mad about that play, because baseball is changing the rules so that play specifically doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Salvi was on the inside part of the line. He gave a clear path to Starling Marte to slide. And Marte's body was in fair territory and slid into Salvi. And it looked like he almost curved a little bit when, okay, the ball's coming in. I'm about to be tagged out. I'm going to slide right there. Like, in today, back in the day, it was a baseball play.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, it felt a little bush by Starling Marte. And I said, you know, yesterday, I'm like, then he gets up and apologizes. Bleep your apology. It's so disingenuous. You didn't do that on accident. That wasn't it was a bang-bang play and I couldn't avoid it. You slid on the inside part of the line and collided with Salvi there. But you didn't go spikes up. Cool. You know, congratulations. You didn't go real dirty play to one of the most beloved players in all of baseball.
Right.
Because your own teammates might have fought you then if you went spikes up on Salvi. But, I mean, that play is specifically put in baseball now, the rules, to avoid that when Salvi is lined up where he's supposed to line up, giving a path and being able to catch and tag. Mm-hmm. And Marte still slid on the inside part of the line.
Okay, so a little bit to unpack, and I'll do the short version. The first, I would throw maybe a little bit of blame on Marte because he's still athletic enough, and for my style of play, if I see where the catcher is sitting, I'm trying to avoid not a collision, to avoid a tag.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be safe.
So maybe outside with a hand tag or miss
the
swipe.
I'm going way outside and trying to swipe that little outer black part of the plate with a finger, you know, just trying to get it to the outside, and if I'm out, I'm out. So that's the reaction. I think the ball got there early enough where he probably could have made that decision. Mm-hmm. So the benefit of the doubt with him is maybe he's just trying to break up or knock the ball out. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility as well. I'm not going to say, oh, Marte's this dirty player. That's a horrible thing. And look, he's sliding into our beloved Sal Perez.
That's where I'm pissed off.
Absolutely.
If it was Logan Porter, it's probably a little bit. Sorry,
I'm
Logan.
Sorry, Logan. Sorry,
what did Logan do to you?
He didn't do anything except for not be Salvi. So yes, there is an element. There is an element of Salvi as a part of our family.
Right.
All right. Now you're talking. I can talk about
Logan's
my,
not. You would never invite Logan over for dinner.
He can come over for dinner. Guaranteed foods. We got plenty. But like you know, I can talk about my cousin, mm-hmm. my friend, my uncle, my brother. You don't talk about him.
Yeah. Right?
You don't mess with Salvi.
How dare you?
All right?
Right.
Go ahead, Les.
So, no, it's fine. So maybe there's a little bit there, but you just don't know what was inside his head at that last second. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was just trying to jar it loose. Maybe he just kind of had a feeling seeing Salvi set up and present the glove there all of a sudden like, oh, I'm a dead man. And so maybe he thought, I don't have time to go to the outside, so I'm going to try to break this thing up. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. This whole thing for me is what you said, Jason, at the beginning. This is Major League Baseball's inconsistencies and inability to enforce things, hold umpires accountable, all these changes that they want to make, but yet they waffle when it comes to these certain situations. Major League Baseball is creating these kind of situations because they don't have full control. Once they meddle in things when they shouldn't, then, okay, well, if you're going to meddle, okay, you changed it, fine. We don't like it, but you changed it, and then they don't enforce it. That's what creates mm-hmm. this anger and frustration and pits people and fans and players against each other, and it's just not necessary. So if you make them, I know some rules sometimes can't be exactly ironclad, but Major League Baseball creates a lot of their own problems, and sometimes the players are the ones that suffer.
I'm thankful it didn't happen, that Salvi is not out for an extended period of time.
Oh, if he would have, this conversation's a lot different.
Agreed.
Right, and I think when you talk about the consistencies and this, the play didn't get much play at all. Like, people didn't really talk about it. There's a slide, and Salvi left the game injured. Like, even on ESPN or MLB Network, it's like, okay, now we move on to other things in the game. If we found out that Salvi's done for the season on that, I guarantee that play would be looked at and studied and talked about. And it would be a conversation that they would have on MLB Network of, okay, was this Buster Posey, you know, that was a collision at home plate where he was in front of home plate. Salvi's on the inside part of the field and he's got the tag ready to go. And Marte slides on the inside and hits Salvi's leg. Is this a dirty slide? Isn't this what we're trying to take out? And I also wonder if Salvi would have dropped the ball if the Royals would have challenged.
Right.
And said that, well, actually, he's out because he slid into the catcher. The catcher mm-hmm. gave him a path, and he chose to go into the catcher and collide with him. That's why he dropped the ball. He's actually still out. I do wonder if the out wouldn't have been called on the field if they would have challenged it, and the out still would have been recorded. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was nervous at first that they were just going to still call him out just with the new rules. Not enough of the plate was given up for Starling Marte.
Yeah,
again, I think I'm more with less as far as Starling Marte doesn't have this history of a dirty player.
Mm-hmm.
If this was Josh Donaldson doing it, you know, or who was the guy, Brett Lowry doing it, you know, maybe we'll have a different conversation.
Yeah, I don't think he's a dirty player. I just think it was in today's day and age. It felt a little bush.
Yeah, but
felt a little bush.
It's also a guy who's been playing Major League Baseball since 2012.
Yeah.
So he's had to deal with the changes.
That's true.
And when he first came into baseball, that was not the rule. The rule was you're going to try and break it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to me, that if this was a younger guy, I would have more, I think, anger towards it. But this is more of a guy going, yeah, we know where it's at. But also, I do think it's a bang-bang play. The thought is I'm probably going to be out. And back when I started playing baseball, back when he was in the majors, mm-hmm. it was, I'm going to try and break this up. That's what I think he tried to do. And it just,
right.
it's if this was anyone besides the Royals, I would probably even just say, I don't mind it.
Yeah. And let's remember, Marte's a big dude, too. And, mm-hmm. you know, you get some steam rolling when you're a big guy. It's really hard once you commit. Even in your mind, yeah. once you commit, your body's going to follow. But once you commit with your body, it's really hard. I mean, same with Salvi, 260 pounds. What if it would have been a Logan Porter or Fermin back there or just a yeah. smaller? Any other catcher's probably going to be smaller. And, yes, they're big, and, yes, they're tough. But, again, it's not the size of Salvi. So it could have been, you know, Salvi's size may have saved him a stint on the IL because he's just a bigger guy. And he's durable, and he's tough, and all those things in mind. And so, again, benefits of the doubt all mm-hmm. the way through. It just points to me that MLB continues to waffle through stuff, and yeah. that's frustrating.
I just think Starling Marte should be kicked out of baseball. That's just what I'm saying, but whatever. I mean, if you
and I think that we should bring in instant replay only because there's what, like 60 to 90 days you have to implement something,
mm-hmm.
you know, now
mm-hmm.
instead of a full year. And it's working very well in AAA when, you know, Skeens did it the other day that looked way inside but ended up being a strike and he got a strikeout and did a little head tap. Yeah,
challenge that.
I love the fact, I think I saw a tweet like with Angel that someone said if they had that right now, Angel Hernandez wouldn't be working because he'd give himself a concussion from all the times he'd tap himself in the head. But implement it just for him. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be.
If you're the worst, whoever gets the worst score, that's the only umpire when he works behind the plate that you can have the instant replay. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Obviously, the Jordan rules were different, but this would be the Angel rules,
yes.
the Angel Hernandez rules, that you do have instant replay. You can challenge a pitch with Angel Hernandez.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because then he'd probably quit.
Did you see the?
Or he'd probably sue.
Did you see the pitch to? Yeah, probably. Did you see the pitch to Wyatt Langford?
Yeah.
It was 7 inches outside.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, at least it wasn't.
No, hold on, Jay. Come on. It was 6.7 something inches. It wasn't a full 7, was it?
Well, you know what? Half an inch does make a difference.
6 points. Okay, give it. Okay, no, it was 7 inches.
That's
inches, horrible.
Yes. And yeah. at least it wasn't a big situation of one out, bases loaded. He saw 5 pitches. None of them were strikes.
So what's worse for you guys? Is it the obviously horrible calls he consistently does, or when someone challenges him, the genuine look of surprise / arrogance / I have no idea what you're talking about
that
look on
one.
His face.
That one.
It's the second part.
It's unbelievable. Either he doesn't know or he's so arrogant
mm-hmm.
or just doesn't care.
And that's what it is
because
he's the worst umpire in baseball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I don't think he has social media. I would be shocked if a guy like that who's just...
be a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe he doesn't see all the things said about him, but you have to know, when you are the least popular umpire, how many umpires do you currently know the names of? 10? 15,
yeah.
maybe?
I mean, no.
But the point is, if you know them,
yeah.
typically...
Right.
It's rarely for good reasons.
That's
normally
true.
It's for... And if... you are that popular, and I don't mean popular in a good way here. If you're that
right.
well-known, infamous, I should
notorious.
Say.
Notorious.
Yeah, notorious.
Yeah.
It's
infamous. That's you, dog. Like, that's you, man. Like, Angel, come on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that Angel wasn't calling the game yesterday, because we would have more conversation about that. But Seth Lugo was on the mound less. I was looking for the stat about where he ranks in baseball, but Jack Johnson put this out last night. In his last 30 starts... Seth Lugo has 21 quality starts, 4-for-4 with the Royals, the 25 2/3 innings, and 3 earned runs that he's given up in his 4 starts. I mean, we talked about when it happened. Hey, getting Will Smith and revamping the bullpen, Michael Wacha coming in, but Seth Lugo was such an underrated signing, I think, across baseball, and he has just been dynamite for the Royals. He's not going to have a 1 ERA, but he's just simply consistent. You know what you're going to get from Seth Lugo
yeah.
out there. And it's also sort of it's a nice change to watch him work. It's not, you know, 98, 100 and crazy, nasty stuff.
He's a pitcher.
He's a pitcher and changing speeds and getting soft contact and 100 pitches in seven, almost eight innings. And it's like, oh, hey, that guy just knows what he's doing out there on the mound.
Yeah, it is so, it's just so masterful to watch. It's like watching somebody paint a picture and you've got no idea what that is or what is that color or what's going on here. And then, wow, okay, now I got it. I mean, watching him pitch is ridiculous. And I think that with him and with this whole rotation, the Royals are not getting, their front office is not getting enough credit for putting this together. I mean, the Royals starters this year in just 17 games are 8-2. And Cole Reagans with a sub 2 ERA doesn't even have a win yet.
A win.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And so, I mean, it's Waka and who is it? Is it Waka and Marsh that have the losses as the mm-hmm. starters? And still, I mean, Waka's a 4, Marsh is a sub 3. ERA, is that right? Sub 3? So, yeah, it's been phenomenal to watch. And Lugo's just carving guys. Now, in I think 25-plus innings, he only has, I think, 6 walks, which is great. He doesn't have, but he only has, I think, like 8 strikeouts.
He's 13.
13 strikeouts, yeah. Okay, so that's not one an inning. That's maybe a strikeout every 6 outs, which isn't like world-beating if you think about it, but he's pitching to contact. He's trusting his defense. He's getting guys off balance.
Yeah, the Alec Marsh has a 4.3 ERA and he's 2-0.
Okay, Cole
Reagans,
2-0.
Cole Reagans has a 1.9 ERA and he's 0-1. And Waka is 1-1 with his 4 ERA.
Yeah.
So Waka and Alec Marsh have a 4 and 4.3 ERA.
How dare
They're 3-1.
How dare they?
And Cole Reagans has a 1.9 and he's 0-1. Lugo, a 1.05, is 3-0. And Brady Singer, a 0.98, is 2-0.
Paltry. And minuscule. That's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I want to ask you, Les, if you think Seth Lugo can keep this up, because the underlying metrics are not a fan of Seth right now. And I'm mm-hmm. a big process a lot of times, especially in baseball. Football's different because there's 17 regular season games. That's results-oriented. Sorry, you got to get the call right in that moment. Baseball,
sure.
162. Odds are it's going to even out as the season goes on. The underlying numbers are not a fan of Seth. But again, he is producing a lot of extremely weak contact.
Mm-hmm.
His fastball has been really solid, even though it's only being thrown at an average of 92.2. And his curveball has just some of the most break in all of Major League Baseball. And you go back to what he did with the Padres. I don't want to go back to 2022 because he was a reliever then. But last year, it wasn't like he was a massive strikeout pitcher. Now, 140 strikeouts in 146 innings, even 5 years ago, that's pretty solid for a starter.
Sure.
In today's baseball, average, a little below average, right? A little less than one per, I guess, 9. I just don't know how sustainable this is for a guy, because we saw it. Brad Keller was a guy brought up earlier. Brad Keller could do it for a year or two, and then we'll go, yeah, well, when's the other shoe going to drop? And then it dropped.
Yeah.
What do you think with Seth here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, I think we have to have the reality check in the sense it's a human being, and, you know, Major League Baseball is a chess match. Pitchers figure things out, and they get ahead of hitters, and eventually hitters will start. Their scouting department and their hitters meetings will start to make adjustments and they'll start to take certain pitches. And that good curveball, there's not going to be a lot of guys in 2 to 3 more starts. They're going to be swinging that as much.
Yeah.
They're going to be waiting. And then they're going to start hitting that fastball a little bit and maybe playing smaller ball because he, to this point, doesn't give, like you said, the solid contact. He's getting a lot of weak contact because hitters are hitting his stuff. Eventually, the pendulum's going to swing back. So I see Lugo, yeah, I would love it if he'd win 15 games. There's no reason to say he wouldn't win 15 games right now.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he, 3-0?
Yeah, out of every 4 starts he's
I mean, yeah. There's a lot of baseball left. There's almost 150 games left. So I'd see him like anywhere from a 3.8 to a 4.6 earned run average. But if you win 15 games with a potent offense, and this offense, if you look at it right now, only Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. right now in 17 games are hitting over 300. I think Bobby Witt's at 314. Salvi's around 339 or something like that. Have I turned to analytic nerd? Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
That's exactly right. 314 and 339,
man,
respectively.
What's going on?
Look,
I can't remember like what I read
Les
2 minutes
Norman,
ago.
Big number guy.
But also what you don't realize, I mean, we know that he's been hot is, you know, 4 games ago, Pasquantino was like, oh, something. Now he's at 255, but climbing very quickly. He's killing it right now. So to come back to the answer to the question, it's probably not because he's not your A-lister, 24-year-old super stud that's going to be a potential 20-game winner, he's going to have a little bit higher ERA, and he's not going to be able to do this all year, but he's going to give you a chance to win every time. Great defense behind him, good offense behind him, and he's always going to give you a chance to win.
It reminds me a lot of Jared Weaver with the Angels, right? He especially towards the end of his career, everything up there was manipulated. Mm-hmm. And if you saw last night, Leske had a fun velocity quote with Seth Lugo. His lowest fastball was 88.8. His maximum velocity fastball was 94.8. That's just one pitch that he's manipulating. Mm-hmm. He also throws a curveball, which last night had one that was 81.8 miles an hour with 59 inches of vertical break. Mm-hmm. Only more has been Dylan Cease with 55. He threw a sinker, a slider, a changeup, and then a sweeper. So he's out here throwing six pitches, but he's manipulating every single one of them.
Which they're actually multiple pitches of the same pitch.
And so that's why I think some of the analytical numbers might not be the best for him. This is a guy who is entering his second season as a traditional starter, was a reliever for the majority of his career. He's learning how to pitch, and you don't have to have the best stuff to get dudes out. Again, I always go back to Jared Weaver with the Angels because that was always a guy who I thought was fun to watch. Bruce Chinn, to an extent. Hopefully he's a little better than Bruce.
Oh, Chinn!
But even Greinke towards the end, right? Even when how to pitch.
Loved Seren down in spring training when he interviewed Greinke a long time ago. His first stint with the Royals interviewed Greinke. And, you know, Greinke would throw, like, the curveball at 70 miles an hour, and he could hum in the fastball at 99, right? And so Seren asked him how many different pitches you have. And Greinke, and his perfect Greinke, it was something along the lines of, why? Throw my curve at 1 mile an hour. So I guess I have like a million. Because he was saying, I can throw a fastball at 89, a fastball at 90, a fastball at 91, a fastball at 90. How many different pitches do you have? I don't know. Literally, do you have a fastball, a curve, a slider, a change? Do you throw a split?
But not in his head.
Not in his head. So, no. I don't know, a million? Because I have a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, and I have a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah. Those are two different pitches.
That's a great point. And Sterling, to your point on all this, I can hit an 88-mile-an-hour – well, I'm sorry. No longer at 55, can I? Back in the day, I could hit an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. Okay, I'd actually rather you, like, time out because you put a little more velocity on it because I'm geared up towards something else. So between 88 and 94, I'm comfortable that I can catch up with that, have good timing on it. The problem is, though, when you go 88 to 94, then your curve, then your sinker, then your change, and you're manipulating speeds and locations on all of those, if a guy is like 92 to 94 and has other pitches, okay, all I'm looking for is a fastball. Mm-hmm. And I can get on your movement either in the scouting, watching video, or just having faced you before or even after the first at-bat. I might run into one the first at-bat, but if I get you locked in and know there's only 2 to 3 mile-per-hour difference between your fastballs, I'm confident. Even if it's a heavy, nasty, Jamie Bloom a shot-put sinker like he used to throw, I'll learn to get my hands inside and do what I can do. But now when you've got 7 mile-an-hour difference and one's a sinker or a cutter, and then you factor the change and the curve and all those other things, you start to take my mind off of your fastball, and now my mind is thinking about 7, 8, 9, 10 variations of different pitches. You're in my head on the walk from the on-deck circle up to the plate, and that's victory in and of itself. You turn me from a 290 hitter into a 160 hitter, and that's what Seth Lugo's doing.
Writing it down, Les Norman said he would rake v. Jamie Bluma's sinker.
I would rake it because I would only be able to hit it with an actual rake, not a bat.
Okay, right now, current age, you versus Jamie Bluma.
Ooh. Jamie Bluma wins every single time.
You think so?
I took my boys out yesterday just for slow pitch softball to get them something to do, and they had a game last night, so I'll just throw to them, and I'm sitting out this year. And I went home, and my wife looked at me. She's like, the ice bag is in the cabinet. And I had to ice my left oblique just because I took 15 slow-pitch softball swings.
Oh, my goodness.
So Jamie Bluma would win every single time. His talent and my inability to stay healthy.
We'll take a timeout. Les Norman is our guest. Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com and First Federal Bank of Kansas City. I want to talk about another pitcher that had some nasty stuff last night. MacArthur as a closer, what he was doing. And I love the juxtaposition of the two pitchers on the mound for the two teams, Michael Kopech and then to MacArthur, and seeing the different ways they go about it. And we'll ask Les Norman if maybe you know, we've talked about Nelson Velasquez and how, you know, excited it is that he's, you know, going the opposite way and willing to take some singles. Is this sustainable for him when he's swinging and missing almost 50% of the time? Does he need maybe some time off with his struggles of late? We'll take a timeout, come back, continue hanging out with Les Norman. More Zone next. All right, a Tuesday edition of The Zone heading up until 2 o'clock. Jason Anderson, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels, Les Norman, Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com, First Federal Bank of Kansas City, hanging out with us. So, what?
I love these, like, royalty-free musics that are just complete. This is what I like about You by the Romantics. Yes. It's just complete, just rip-offs.
What are you talking about?
It's amazing. I love these.
It's not a rip-off. Theirs goes
royalty.
Doom, 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 da da doom, doom. Ours goes doom, 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 da da doom, doom.
Yeah, I love those. These
are totally different.
It's a fun game of what song is the royalty-free music?
Vanilla Ice was under pressure when he did that song. I mean, he was.
Les Norman is our guest, and I want to juxtapose.
If you're going to use big words, pronounce them correctly.
Yes, I'm going to pronounce them correctly from now on, okay? I'll put the right emphasis on the correct syllable.
Got it.
All right, I'm going to do that moving forward. But the juxtaposition of the two pitchers last night, when you got Michael Kopech on the mound, and he's hitting 101 and pumping it in there, and you got MacArthur, closer. Oh, it's closer stuff. He's pumping in there at 94, you know, but he's got that vicious curve and the sinker, you know, that's 94, but the slider that he's throwing in there as well. And my son is in this mode of the great stuff is like, well, can he throw 100? Does he throw 101? You know, because YouTubes and all of that stuff, right? And so he's watching Michael Kopech and throwing 101, and then MacArthur gets in there, and I'm like, no, this guy's got some pretty good pitches. He's got some nasty stuff, and he throws 94, and he's like, well, that was only 94. I said, watch the ball. And MacArthur, the entire inning, not one pitch was straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got the sinker that's got the movement. You've got the curve that's falling off the table. And when MacArthur was done, my son was like, Dad, he was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, he was not. I'm like, and you don't have to throw 101 to be nasty.
Right.
I was like, you know, Kopech was throwing 101. And yeah, you can be nasty that way. And I said, but MacArthur's working, you know, 84 to 95, but nothing is straight. It's going left to right. It's going right to left. It's going north, south. You know, it's moving every which way.
Yeah.
And that's you can be really effective with some nasty stuff that way as well. And that's, I love to see that, you know, the new age of like, here's your closer, boom, 100. Here's the Royals closer, just stuff moving everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I would rather face a guy like a Randy Johnson. The old school, my day of Jose Mesa. You know, those guys gas. Because at some time, you know you're going to get this certain movement, but it's gas. Just get your foot down and let's go one-on-one, and they're going to win more because they can, and 100's 100, right? But you get a guy that can control the baseball, and again, like we talked about earlier, get in your head a little bit and just get you off your game. One bat at bat can get you into a slump, and hitters know that. So they're battling in those late parts of the games against a really good pitcher, but then they're also trying to protect the good feel that they have. Like right now, the guys that are hot for the Royals or guys that are hot all around the big leagues when they're going really good to start the season, it's really hard to start the season off really well. It really is. You're coming out of spring, and it's different, and the whole atmosphere is different, and you feel different, and blah, blah, blah. But you're protecting against going into a slump, and when you let your brain get into that, that's when the slump really starts. And one at bat, one wrong thought can take it. And a guy like MacArthur, who can move the ball all over the place, and there's the pressure of, okay, we're still in this. It's get one base runner, and then we can tie it up.
Bloop and a blast.
Bloop and a blast. We're right there. That's a lot of pressure.
Well, it's not 89. It's still 95. And what's it's going to your point of how nasty he's been with, again, not throwing 101 or the traditional elite stuff. His chase percentage is 93rd percentile.
Yeah.
His whiff percentage, 96th percentile. His walk rate, which, by the way, again, he controls all this 94th percentile. Again, small sample size, 8 2/3 inning.
Well, but consistency and good sample sizes have to start from small sample sizes.
And so for me, we're going back to this. Like, great, that guy throws 101, but this guy has insane movement. Look at the numbers underlying that back this up. Mm-hmm. Dudes are not getting contact on these, and he's not walking anyone.
Well, and I do wonder, Les, I hear that, and I hear the chase percentage of 93rd percentile, whiff percentage of 96th percentile. So he's showing strike with the movement that's then not ending up with strike. The adjustment tells me batters are going to start spitting on that and then saying, I'm going to make you prove that your stuff is going to land in the zone.
Yeah, great point.
And so I do wonder what happens now if batters start doing that.
And see, that's the crunch, the nervousness, the tighten up factor, because once you start hitting 95 and up, okay, you better start respecting the velocity here. But that's even more of the play on your brain, because at 95, you don't have as much time. There is, it doesn't seem like it, but there's a big difference between 92 and 95. There's a huge difference. You're thinking that's only 3 miles an hour. At that distance, there's a big difference in your timing and your approach and your tension in your hands and your body. And if you cheat open, you cheat the other way, you guess right, you guess wrong. But now you have a ball at 95 that starts in the zone, and then you chase. And so then you step out. Now it's that upper echelon, 95 to 100. That's that upper degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you don't have time, and you get more tighter because now you have to commit that millisecond even more. And so then you tend to chase even more than you normally would with a guy with great stuff. At 92, if he goes outside corner with a cutter, and I know he's got a cutter. It's like facing Mariano Rivera. I know he's got a cutter. It's all world. Can't do anything about it. But you get another guy that doesn't have Mariano Rivera stuff, and he throws a cutter at 92, and it starts outside corner, I'm leaving it alone, unless Angel Hernandez is behind plate. So, but yeah, I'm leaving it alone, because if it doesn't cut, okay, he got me, but the odds are it's going to cut, and it's probably going to cut away, and I'm hoping the umpire knows what he's doing. Now you get a guy that starts 95 or above. I don't have the luxury, and I'm an athlete. I want to compete. I want to get after it, and I don't want to go down looking. And so throwing that 94, 95 with good movement, with you're not sure, it just forces hitters to react a little bit more. It forces them to guess a little bit more, to get tension. And I think, Sterling, that is why you see the chase, the swing and miss, all those things, because you, as a hitter, you're just uncomfortable. It is great stuff, but it just forces you out of your game as a hitter.
And I do wonder, like, okay, so if they start just saying, I'm going to make you throw strikes. I see the movement and everything, but, you know, that's down and away. And
where Salvi behind the plate
right,
gets you.
I'm whiffing 96% of the time, and I'm chasing, or 96th percentile of whiff rate, 93rd percentile of chase. Those two things sort of coincide, I would guess, that if I'm chasing, it's not really within the zone, so it's going to be tougher to hit, and I'm swinging and missing, as opposed to, well, I'm not going to let you get ahead by swinging at something. I'm going to make you throw a strike.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where, okay, and I'm not saying he can't, because right now it's working. And if you're, you know, throwing, he threw an absolute perfect pitch to, I can't remember who it was in the ninth, but it was a curve or a slider. I didn't look at the pitch tracks or the Statcast or anything, but he had two strikes on the guy. He came sinker inside, and it was fouled off, so he had two strikes. And he went slider or curve, low and outside, that missed by about a half inch or an inch. And I was talking to my son. I'm like, okay, now you throw it a little bit outside because it's 0-2. Throw it a little bit outside, down and away, and you let him get himself out.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitch comes in. I'm like, oh, that was brilliant. And my son was like, it was a ball. I said, yeah, but that hitter, you credit the hitter for laying off that, because that was barely outside. That's a tip of the cap to the hitter for not swinging at that 0-2. That was he put that, because Salvi even did the glove thing, like,
yeah.
or Freddie did the glove thing. Like, that's exactly where he wanted to put that pitch.
But that also is the smartest pitch if you miss there, because now the hitter's thinking, I might have got lucky.
Yep.
And now I'm going to start looking over there, so you can throw it a little more off the plate, because now he's in defensive mode, or you get him diving and you throw a sinker strike on the inside corner, because if you dive even a little bit at that speed, you can't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So you stand up and you jerk your body back and you take it, and then you look like a fool. So missing with that pitch opens two more locations up.
But I wouldn't even say that was a miss, though, right?
No, it's like, not a miss. I'm saying it's a ball. It's not a miss.
Yeah. And that gives me a little more confidence as to where, okay, well, if somebody's going to just be saying, I'm going to sit here until you can prove that you're going to throw three strikes with your movement, if he puts it right there, exactly where he wanted to put it, you know, because a little bit, you know, another, you know, inch or so inside where it's like, oh, yeah, it would have been a strike. Okay, well, now he takes it the other way. Yeah. You know, now he swings 0-2, easy swing, puts it the other way. You know, he swings at that one a little more outside. Now he's swinging over the top, and it takes a real special talent to go mm-hmm. outside like that and put it the other way. If he can put it right there on that curveball, which he's got a dynamite curve, then that gives me a little more faith that if the people are going, well, I'm going to make you work more to the strike zone now. I'm not going to chase as much. That, okay, well, now I'm going to take that was just outside that I put it exactly, I hit my spot. All right, I'm going to put a little bit more into the zone. And then you're going to have to hit that's still going to have this movement.
I can't tell you how many times on a 0-2 pitch, looking back, guy paints just off the plate or something like that, and I don't flinch. I go back and look at the video, and I don't flinch, but I remember the at-bat. And you might hear an announcer say, oh, man, that's a great take. I don't know how I took that pitch. And in reality, I'm thinking, it's because I didn't see it. I just got fooled and didn't see it. And so I didn't flinch or I didn't dive because I had no idea where it was. But, yeah, I meant to do that. Sure.
Damn right. Remember my name.
I will say, just going back to James MacArthur here and why I think we shouldn't even be worried about the walks and mm-hmm. if people start to just, throw a strike. He's going to, based on his career so far. Again, he's only faced 128 batters in his career, so it's 26 games, 32 innings. Anyone want to take a gander on how many walks he has in his Major League Baseball career?
Man, I know he's in the
32 innings total.
I know he's in the low percentile of walk rate.
Just give me the actual number of
walks.
Four.
I would have said eight.
Three. He's walked three batters, 128 batters faced, three walks.
So he's not exactly like Stallmont with a great curveball. So yeah, it's a little different. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, wrap up this hour with Les Norman next. All right, wrapping things up with Les Norman. Wish we had more time. Breaking the Norm. What do you got coming up on Breaking the Norm, the show today, Les?
So, I was in A-ball. I was battling in my first full season. I was battling for the hitting title. I was in Appleton, Wisconsin, the Appleton Foxes. And the Beloit Brewers had this third baseman who could rake. He was a pitcher out of USC who ended up hitting, and it was Jeff Cirillo.
Nice.
The 14-year big league vet.
Awesome. He's coming on the show today?
Coming on the show.
That's very cool. Very cool. Les, you're the man. Appreciate it as always, brother.
Have a blast with you guys, man. Yeah. This is awesome.
Get your PSA checked.
Yes. Get your PSA. Stop being scared. Get out there.
Get out there. Get the information. Know it.
Live it.
Game right. You got anything, Sterling?
It's good since it's good.
Take another bite.